Welcome to the Fern Podcast, As the Season Turns. I'm Leah Leyndertz, and I'm delighted to introduce this found sound for March, created by musician and sound artist Alice Boyd. Found sounds are a new addition to As the Season Turns for 2024. Brief, meditative episodes for listeners who wish to feel that little bit more immersed in the natural world as we move through the year, grounding ourselves in nature and the rhythms our ancestors have always followed. This month's episode was recorded during a foraging walk with Zoe Gilbert, author, folklorist, and contributor to As the Season Turns, who took Alice out along the cliffs near her home in Folkestone.
Could you describe where we are right now?
So we're walking along the Lees in Folkestone, which is the top of the cliff, so we're well above sea level, and it's where all the grand buildings were put by the Victorians who made this into their holiday resort. And it's very green and grassy, but you're looking right out over open sea. You can see Dungeness Power Station in the distance over there.
There? Yeah.
On a clear day you can see France. I don't think we quite can today. Along here, this kind of bushy green stuff that's really dominating is alexanders, which the Romans brought over for their kitchen gardens and also to use as winter fodder, because it does what no other plants really do here, which is start putting on its green leafiness in the middle of winter. It's a bit like celery once it gets going. It has this amazing floral flavour that you can get from the raw plant and also the cooked plant.
Yeah, I can smell quite a sweet smell right now. Is that the plant?
There are some in flower already, even though it's only March, so it probably is coming from those flowers. My favourite thing to do with it is to pick those side branches and pickle them in a kind of sugary pickling mix. And then they're an amazing snack to have with cheese or something like that. They absorb all the flavours from your pickling spice, but they also keep their floral fragrance, but the edge comes off it enough that you can snack on it and it stays really crunchy and delicious. So we can taste a bit if you like.
Yeah, I'd love to. Okay.
It'll be bitter but floral as well.
That's really nice.
Mm.
It's kind of got an apple-y taste to it as well.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Should we look at another?
Yeah.
Another plant here is yarrow, versions of which you can get in the garden. But this one is not flowering yet, but I have seen it flowering still down here in December, and it has a white sort of umbel flower, and it might have a scent to it now. Not too much. It's fairly fragrant, but very bitter, and so it's usually only used for tea, but it's an amazing long-used medicinal herb, and it's also got antiseptic properties, anti-inflammatory properties. You'd be hard-pressed to find a wild plant that didn't have anti-inflammatory properties, so the bigger variety you can get in your tea cabinet,
the better. And I love sort of combining them by instinct, depending on what it is that I think I need from them. Having moved to Kent with better access to the countryside, I just got much more into the mushroom foraging and discovered that the people who were writing about mushroom foraging were also writing about all these other things you could eat. And I thought, oh, given that I'm going to all these really wild locations, marshes and woods and things, I should start looking. But what I realised quickly was often the best medicinal and edible plants aren't in the wild places. They're often on disused ground and alleyways and places, you know, like the path around the edge of the cemetery, for example. And I often find the best selection of things, especially medicinal things, not very far from my house.
Wow.
So I just got really excited about all the food and medicine that was all around me and started going crazy learning about it, especially in a place where you can access the coast and the kind of muddy, mersey edge of a marsh, where plants get covered in salt water or almost all the time. There are amazing things to eat, and it's one of the places that, in order to get through certain parts of the year, people would probably have migrated downhill to the edges where they could eat these sea vegetables from sort of May onwards. Here, lots and lots of ribwort plantain.
I've heard a lot about plantain, but I've never known exactly which one it is.
Yeah, there's a few. So there's this one, which has a long, kind of almost spear-shaped leaf. And then there's greater plantain, which has a much rounder leaf. And you might be more likely to see that. It's often right in the middle of a path that you're walking down. I think it's the way that it reproduces. Its seed likes to stick to your shoes and move around that way. But there's also buckthorn plantain and sea plantain that live much nearer the water. And they're all medicinal and they're all edible. Sea plantain is absolutely delicious because it's salty and it's much more tender than these ones up here. But these are as good for a sting, nettle or insect as dock, if not better.
Oh, wow.
And also wound healing. But they're really good for your mucous membranes if you're inflamed or have a slight cold like me. So I had my plantain tea this morning to try and soothe the inside of my sinuses. Pine trees that have been planted. This one's huge, so they probably were put in by the Victorians when this park was being made. But the pine needles, which you can see they're looking quite fresh and juicy for pine needles right now, are also really good for you and have a lovely flavour, and you can make a tea from those. I've also used them as flavouring for making kind of bitters and for flavouring wild drinks. So if you bung some pine needles in some vodka and leave it for a few weeks, you'll get a really, really lovely piney flavour. Mm-hmm. You can do it with spruce and all kinds of things. Obviously not you, because that one's poisonous. So it's a really nice extra flavour if you wanted to kind of make your own.
And that's nice having a gin that you've kind of made from your local, your local plants.
Exactly. I did it once in Folkestone and just picked within about a quarter of a mile of my house, and then flavoured lots of different bits of vodka in jam jars with things like yarrow and Alexander's that I'd picked, and then combined those with syrups and things and made a Folkestone vermouth. You can put almost anything in, mushroom flavours, seaweed flavours, all kinds of crazy stuff. And
have a nice taste test of all the different plants.
Yeah, exactly. It's really good fun.
Thank you for listening to my found sound for March. Episodes of As the Season Turns are released on the first of each month, and found sounds on the middle Friday of the month. Please do like and subscribe. I'm Alice Boyd, and if you enjoyed this podcast, you might also enjoy my music. The song playing now is Oh These Days, which I wrote a year ago for Fern to celebrate the return of spring. You can find Oh These Days and my other songs on Spotify, Apple Music, and all other major streaming platforms. This episode was produced by me, Alice Boyd, with support from Catriona Bolt at Fern. Intro music was provided by The Breath. Thank you to Zoe Gilbert for our conversation in Folkestone. Zoe has released two novels, Folk and Mischief Acts, as well as a number of short stories focusing on folklore, nature and social history. This podcast has been created by Fern. Fern is an organic fragrance maker based in Somerset. Working with the rhythms of the seasons, they blend, barrel age and bottle four fragrances a year. Each fragrance is made to order for the names on the Fern production ledger. To join the ledger and find out more, visit www.fern.co or visit the link in the podcast description.